In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
And we are listening to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. And also at getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your unstoppable juggernauts.
Using the crimson gem of Cetirac to smash the worlds of comic books.
Yes, Chris, I'm so glad that you got that last line, because what the heck is a Cetirac?
You know what? The crimson gem of Cetirac, that's what like gave the Juggernaut its power kind of thing. You know, remember, because the Juggernaut found it, and then he put the made the suit and all that. Yeah. That's why you got to take the helmet off in order to... Well, and that's the old style
I was not an Alpha Flight fan. Sorry.
You know, let's just continue on with the show.
All right.
You know, you're looking great today. Thanks, Chris. You've been working out or something.
I'm telling you, Chris, I took the stairs here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's about seven steps up from downstairs, and I'm feeling good. Invigorated.
Good for you.
Okay, ready
for
to go. Ready to fill the listenership with knowledge on the comic book world.
Well, you know, and that's what really, you know, it's not just about comic books, but, you know, everything that revolves around comic books. Because, you know, as we always say, it's not just, you know, comic books, but, you know, it's the world is finally getting to know what we've all been talking about for years.
Absolutely right. And comics are important. In the world of pop culture, and you and I are here to share the wealth.
All right. Well, new this week is brought to you by the Batkini. Yeah, you know you want it.
Wow, the Batkini.
Yeah, do you remember that? Like Batman bikini kind of thing?
See, I missed that too. Jeez, where have I been?
No, you know, it's all right. You didn't really miss very much.
Okay, good. All right, Chris, new this week, of course, is always our first feature in our show, and it's where you and I pick a few of the comics that are hitting the new this week stand at local comic book shops today.
That's right.
And today, I think, you know what, we're going to go just be totally crazy. We're going to live on the edge.
Whoa.
And pick an independent, not like a non-Marvel, non-DC.
Right.
As our first salvo.
Hold on, because we for a long time we did Marvel first, and then we did DC for a little while, and now we're doing the independents.
Well, you know, the two big boys, we're on 30-day terms.
Right.
And
right.
The checks haven't cleared yet.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, they're on a short leash. I want to talk about, well, actually, you picked this one out, Chris. You want to talk about Doctor Who, number 10.
Hold on.
Oh.
We stopped recording for some reason.
Well, it's good that it was only 3 minutes. Oh, hold on just a goddamn minute.
Why the heck did we stop recording?
Don't know.
All right, well, let's just, okay, we'll start it up again. Start rolling.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU-FM McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com And we're also podcasting on GetThePointRadio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your unstoppable juggernauts.
Using the crimson gem of Sidorak to smash the world of comic books.
Yes, indeed. Now, Chris, juggernauts. There was that's an old Russ Meyer movie, Juggernauts.
Yeah, you know what? There was actually. Yeah. And it was great.
Yeah.
Great. And I'd like to get my copy back from you, too, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah, I can tell.
All right, Chris, hey, great to see you here on a Wednesday, as always.
As always, you know what? You're looking good today.
Thanks, Chris. So are you?
Oh, thanks. You're just saying that because I said it first.
No, you know what? We're glowing. We're glowing because we're surrounded by new this week.
We are. You know what? As we always say, Wednesday is such a wonderful day because we get to read and new comic books, and everything's fantastic.
Yes, it
everything is right with the world.
Everything is right with the world. When the new this week's hit your local comic shop, you know you've made it through another week.
Exactly, exactly. And speaking of new this week, yes. We do have our sponsor this week. New this week is brought to you by the Batkini. Yeah, you know you want it.
Yeah, the Batkini, Chris. Nothing drives a guy more crazy
than the Batkini. Especially when Burt Ward's wearing it.
Nice. Okay. On that note, Chris, what we're going to do today with new this week? We're going to go. We're going to live on the edge. We're going to be crazy, and we're going to not do Marvel, not do DC first. We're going to let that second tier of publisher go first. And I want to start this week with IDW.
All right, that sounds pretty good to me.
All right, now Doctor Who number 10 hits the stands at our local comic book shop today. Doctor Who, of course, the legendary British TV property.
Yeah, it's been around for like 50 some odd years.
Yeah,
40
I think they go back
years.
Into the 60s or early 70s at least.
Yeah, at least I think the late 60s, and then a number of movies. They had like Day of the Daleks and that kind of thing. This is a property that never seems to die because its fan following is so strong. It continues to get more and more popularity. And what's funny is, The people that start writing it and start contributing to the series, they're fans themselves. For example, like Neil Gaiman, who was the creator of the Sandman series and did a number of great works for DC, he has written an episode or two of the Doctor Who series. So here's a guy that probably grew up watching it,
right?
And now he's clearly made it for himself as a writer, mm-hmm. and now he's writing for the series himself because he's a fan.
Yeah, and so there have been. Here's a trivia question. I don't know. Maybe an Englishman. Maybe our friend Mr. Champion in England will say.
I say,
Daniel, if you're listening, old chap, chime in the comments. Has there been more James Bonds or Doctor Who's?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes,
that's a good question. As far as the people
like
that played
people
them.
That played
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know enough about the lore of Doctor Who.
Right.
I know with James Bond, the idea is that it's always supposed to be the same James Bond, right? But I think with Doctor Who's, I think they're meant to be different doctors, right?
Okay,
I don't think it's
right.
always the same guy.
I understand.
I think
right.
it's like the fourth doctor, the eighth doctor,
right.
like that kind of thing.
Right.
Right. So I don't really know enough about it because I haven't watched it since.
But like if you're a fan of Doctor Who, people like usually generational, right? People usually, I really like that Doctor Who.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
the Doctor
totally.
Who with the soccer scarf. Or
yeah,
I like the Doctor
yeah, yeah.
Who.
That's Tom Baker, by the way.
Right. And okay, Tom Baker.
Yeah.
But there seems to be more of an acceptance with these two British properties. Yeah, it's okay to have 17
totally,
different guys.
Totally, yeah.
Why are we so stuck up on, this new guy's going to play Kirk.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You know, like, why is the English...
Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, why don't they mind different actors playing the same characters
you
that
know
they
what?
Love?
That's,
no
a great, that's a great point. For some reason, people in North America are hung up on having the same actor play the same role
yes.
For years and years and years, yet for British... characters, really.
Right, like Bond and like
Bond
Doctor,
and
Who.
Doctor Who. We have no problem if they change it up every once in a
right,
while.
Right,
yeah.
right. Okay.
Great
so,
point. Very
hey,
good
listen,
point.
So fans, keep that in mind when they start announcing, some guy maybe going to be slated to play the next Wolverine. Or
yeah,
something,
exactly.
You know? Simadana.
Yeah. You know? Well, and although he did a good job with the new Superman movie, when the guy that played it in the last one that came out, it wasn't all that well received. Now, maybe that's the movie itself. Or maybe that's the actor. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Just remember on the final note on that, it's the character that's bigger than the actor.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on, Chris. Let's talk about Marvel. Finally, here's like a listen to this, Chris. Listen to this. Ready? Did you hear that?
No.
No, that's Fear Itself, number 7, landing. Right?
Are you saying that it's not making much of a splash?
No, it's not. This is Marvel's big, huge thing that they announced last year, Fear Itself, the big, massive Marvel push, and it just got totally annihilated by
52. But you know what? In Marvel's defense, and really I'm not going to defend them very, very long, but in their defense, you know, how could you possibly go up against 52, really? I mean, and now the other thing I would say is people are getting tired of the crossovers. People are getting tired of the broad sweeping events. You know, as much as Brightest Day did wonders for Green Lantern, you know, I think people are getting sick of it now because Marvel's done it for years now, you know, with Secret Wars. And
yes. Yeah. You know what? I agree and I disagree. I think if they scaled these events back a little bit, I think people still like the grandiose events, but they don't want to be flipping, getting a bank loan.
Well, exactly. I don't want to have to buy every single book out there to figure out what's going on.
So, hey, if you have a beautiful miniseries planned or something like that,
I love
by all means, plan it. If it's an event, Avengers-based miniseries, and you might want to tie in 3 or 4 books. By all means, do it. Like I think Marvel had relative success with that Shadowlands thing last year because they kept it within like one kind of sphere of the thing, where you know the company-wide thing is too much.
You're absolutely right. Fatigue. Completely agree. Yeah, people are going through comic book fatigue.
Fatigue.
Yes.
Speaking of fatigue, Chris. Justice League number 2 hits the stands at local comic book shops today.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is, so I saw that it came out, and I thought to myself, well, we've already reported on the fact that all these books came out, but now I have to realize that these are the books for DC. Like, these are the ones we've got nothing else to talk about.
Right.
Because we've got the 52.
Yeah.
It seems like we reported on all of them last month. So it just seems like, why are we reporting on them again? Well, this is it. Like, this is.
Yeah, this is what you got to choose from.
You got to choose from now, right? So now Justice League number 2 came out, which actually, it's kind of a bit late, isn't it? Because didn't it actually come out in August?
Well, that was the first one that came out.
Did it come out in August?
It came out last Friday in August. If you remember that day, that was the only book from DC. I think there was one more that came out.
Yeah.
And here you go. I think it was Flashpoint. The last Flashpoint
last
also
one.
Came.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then you're right. It should have came out last week. At the same time, at least, as the other number 2.
Yeah.
Right? And it didn't.
No.
And so I'm not sure why it was late. But I don't know if you read the first one. But
I actually like the first one.
Yeah,
I did
the first
read
one
it.
Was good. Yeah. So we get to pick up on, you know, Batman and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Messing with Superman.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because it was sort of the first appearance of those three characters. Given the fact that that was the first book that came out, because we saw all three major characters in that one book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, technically, now this is where it's going to get confusing. You know, as an advisor, you know, are we going to now have to worry about second first appearance of Batman, second first appearance of Green Lantern, the modern version, not the Golden Age version, second first appearance of Superman, the modern-ish version because the Golden Age version was...
Well, I tell you what, the price guide is littered with that stuff already. So if there'll have to be a new age, there'll have to be a new age coined because this is post-modern age.
Right.
So if you look through the price guide and you look through Showcase number 4, first Silver Age appearance of the Flash.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If you look at... Fantastic Four, number 4, first Silver Age appearance of Submariner.
Right.
Avengers, number 4, first Silver Age appearance of Captain America.
Right.
Showcase 22, first Silver Age appearance of Green Lantern. Well, this is the first millennium appearance of
these
three
characters.
What's
this new age going to be called now?
Yes.
The stupid age? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's
the stupid age, Chris.
Okay.
Quit your trash.
I'm just trying to say, because, you know, as much as I think it's a great idea, it does get a little ridiculous with all these new first appearances now.
Well, I mean, yes and no, but that's the way it is. So they're all new first appearances, but there you go. There is a perfect... Do you remember when in Toronto they built the Sky Dome?
I think it was a little too young for that.
Okay, but anyway, they had a contest. You basically mail in what you should call the new dome, and the guy
Sky Dome. I was thinking of the CN Tower. Yeah,
right. Sky Dome.
Yeah.
And when they you know, when the guy won something.
Right.
Right. So the Overstreet, you know, I'm speaking for Overstreet right now.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not.
But
Overstreet, what they should do is you know, let's coin a new age in
comics.
Let's
have a contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Let's call it something.
Yeah, I agree. And, that's a great idea.
So if you're listening to the podcast, jump on one of the sites in the comments field. Give a new name to the age of comics that DC's 52 has spawned.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. All right, well, let's keep on going here. Finally, we've got our kids' pick of the week here.
Chris and Waltz,
kids' pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
And, you know, we chose Tiny Titans. Tiny Titans is by Art Balthazar, and he just goes by the name of Franco.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name's actually Franco Orleani. But you know what? Continuously good up to issue 45. You know?
Wow.
So clearly these guys must be doing something right. It's a great book. A great book for little kids to kind of get started on DC characters.
Right. And that is, of course, Chris and Walt's Kids Pick of the Week. And Chris, I can tell you, our Kids Pick of the Week is working well. So well that I've had to kick a few kids out of the store in the early morning, afternoon on a Wednesday.
Oh.
I know they should be at school.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're listening to you and me talking about the new kids comic, and they're skipping school to hit comics.
Well, that's
right?
Good, though.
So right after they make their purchase, I send them back to school.
Good for you. Good for you. It's about time you know, at least made them pay for it.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, that's it for all the new picks of the week. Go out and check out your local comic book store to figure out what else is new, and you might find something that you actually like. I have a special treat for you. This is the G.I. Joe rocker version. Let's see how this sounds. Hold on a second. Still coming.
Got to get tough, yo, Joe. Got to get tough, yo, Joe. You know you got to stand tall when it comes down to the wire. You got to play rough when you cross that line of fire. You got to have guts to stand for your rights. You got to keep a grip on it to hold on tight. You got to do the fighting with all of your might. You got to keep the target straight ahead on your side. Got to get tough, yo, Joe. Got to get tough, yo, Joe.
G.I. Joe, America's top secret mobile strike force team.
Yo, Joe.
The mission, to defend freedom.
Yo, Joe.
The threat, Cobra. An evil organization bent on world conquest.
Yo, Joe.
The battle cry.
Yo, Joe. Got to get tough, yo, Joe. Got to get tough, yo, Joe. Yo,
Yo, Joe!
Yo, did you like that?
That's excellent. Yeah. I love that song, Chris.
I don't believe you.
Oh, okay.
Song, theme song.
Theme
know
song, spot.
There you go.
Great spot. Excellent. All right, Chris, and a great segue into industry news.
As always.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, I'm talented.
Right. I know you are. Listen, this week, industry news is brought to you by the Incredible Hulk Soothing Aroma Therapy Bath Gel. Do you return home from work wanting to smash puny humans? Then the Incredible Hulk Aromatherapy Bath Gel is the thing for you. Let the soothing bubbles ease away gamma-irradiated tension. Brought to you by Stanco.
You know, I think I saw that in your house last time I was visiting.
You know, does work.
Yeah, well,
you know, and the good thing about, you know, when you read an ad for a product you believe in, hopefully it comes through in voice.
Absolutely. You know what? When I was listening to you, I thought to myself, here's a guy that really loves his Incredible Hulk therapy.
No, that's not what I wanted to hear. What I wanted to hear was, man, I got to go out and get me some of this gel. See? Then I would have been effective.
Sorry. Well, that too.
All right, Chris, let's jump into some industry news. Now, you were talking to me before the show about how much you loved season one of Walking Dead.
So I know our listeners are always aghast at the fact that, you know, here we are supposed to be spouting off about how knowledgeable we are in all things comic books. And for a long time, we hadn't actually seen the Walking Dead TV series yet. All of our listeners had, our friends had, our grandmothers had. Everyone we know basically had gone to go see it. Those kids who were coming in to buy Teen Titans, they had seen it before we did. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
So finally, I watched all of season one last week, and I will say it's awesome.
I really liked it.
I loved it. You know what? It's not your typical zombie anything, movie, TV show, or anything like that. It is. It's a great series, and really, I don't want to give too much away for people that are still leery about it. However, it's basically about relationships.
It's and about the way, zombies.
And, no, it's about relationships and the way people handle relationships given the stress-induced fear of zombies that are upon them. Right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's more than just zombies and killing zombies. It's all about how people have to develop relationships because, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? You're the only guy left in this city. I'm the only guy left in the last city that I was just at. And there's you know, a million zombies around us. If we don't work together, we're going to get eaten.
Right,
basically,
right.
You know, it's all about relationship building and trust and all that. It's awesome. It's really, really good.
Excellent. Well,
of course, it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt that every once in a while you see some zombie eating flesh,
right?
And that kind of thing.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, that never hurts.
No, it never hurts. Yeah.
Well, the season two started last week, and it set records: 7.3 million viewers for the first episode of season two, which I think is some sort of cable network record.
And
there's turmoil. They've made some changes. They kicked out one of the producers of that show.
Yeah,
and all that
well, you
kind
know
of
what?
Stuff.
And Frank Darabont, he was one of the main producers of the show, and he's a guy that he's directed movies like The Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of a big player in the Hollywood area. You know, he has still never actually come out and said why he left the show, but other than saying that he didn't quit, but he didn't get fired.
Right.
So
I think there was something about budget cuts,
yeah,
and he didn't,
you know,
like
what?
It. Or...
I think the fact that it's an extremely expensive show. Yeah.
Right.
High. Well, I had the word there for a second. It's it's extremely expensive to make.
To make, yes.
Yes. And so I think the producers were probably looking for a way to cut costs. And I think he probably just left.
Good for him. Moving on to greener pastures.
Exactly.
All right, so catch Walking Dead. Chris recommends the series Walking Dead.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you're going to jump on number two soon, too,
right? You know what? I didn't get a chance to watch last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was busy with school and stuff like that.
Yep.
Teaching, of course. But I definitely will watch it whenever I get a chance.
Excellent. All right. Chris, let's move on to... Oh, man. When I saw this, I went... You know, that's what I said. I went... Why?
You know...
So... Fantastic Four, or no, sorry. What am I saying?
No. Future FF.
Number 600, yeah. Future Foundation, number 600. How did Future Foundation get to number 600?
Well,
wasn't it at number 8 or 11?
Yeah, you know what?
Something?
It's very interesting how Future Foundation, which just started a few months ago, all of a sudden is now at 600.
Right.
Really, I mean.
Awfully suspicious to me.
Awfully suspicious. I think Marvel's playing with some numbers there.
So I did some digging, Chris, because that's what I do. I find stuff out.
Yeah, you're great like
that. Yeah, and I found out that it used to be called the Fantastic Four.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
No
and
way.
And then it went to Future Foundation. They killed off. The guy that lights himself on fire there.
That whole Human Torch guy?
Human Torch guy,
yeah.
They killed him off. And Johnny Blaze, I think.
You're like
his
name. Regular Sam Spade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the kid's name is Johnny Blaze. And they killed him off.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but Johnny Storm.
Johnny
maybe.
Storm, that's it. And
Johnny Blaze, that's who Nicolas Cage played in that horrible Ghost Rider movie.
Ghost Rider, yeah. I knew I had it right.
Yeah.
Okay, where was I?
Or wrong, whatever.
Or wrong. Okay, you got me off track.
Sorry.
Chris. I got to regroup.
So anyways,
back that up
so
a bit.
600. Beep, beep.
Yeah.
Backing up.
Yeah.
Beep,
so,
beep, beep.
So Marvel goes the cheap route, the chintzy route.
Of course.
And they changed the Future Foundation back to the numbering system of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Which is just like some sort of dumbass ploy. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it is that they get, like, guys like you and me still excited about it and talking about it like we're like schoolgirls.
Oh, well, yeah, like absolutely. That. Because the thing is, we know that it's still going to be the Fantastic Four. We've been in this industry long enough that we know that some of these titles, although they're being called something else, it's going to eventually go back to Fantastic Four.
Right.
So really, it might as well be called Fantastic Four.
That's our plea. Our plea to the DC New 52 is, you know, when Detective and Action approach 1,000, we know you're going to do it, but please surprise us. Pleasantly surprise us and do not do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. That would be great, you know. But chances are they will do it.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about FF
600. Yeah, what's it all about?
Yeah, so, you know, very excited that Galactus is making a comeback here. And there's a caption in a Galactus teaser image where he says, "Very soon your world is going to be broken."
Yeah.
I said that with an Austrian accent.
Well, because you know what? Wouldn't it be great to see Arnold play Galactus?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I am Galactus.
I am Galactus. You puny human.
Where is my Silver Surfer?
So, okay, first of all, when does Galactus... Okay, Galactus eats planets. For those of you who aren't comic book savvy...
Planets, not plants.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't comic book savvy, Galactus is the devourer of worlds.
Devourer of worlds.
He eats planets.
For fun.
For fun. For energy.
And sustenance. Sorry.
He's not a guy that comes around and says, hey, you know... don't worry, very soon your world's going to be broken.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't go around threatening people. He just does it, right?
He doesn't give you a warning so you can try to defend yourself, no. Is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right.
But hold on. Now, it's not just Galactus that we're worried about here, right? Didn't you say that something about Black Bolt here is happening?
Yeah, there's a teaser image on Black Bolt, too, coming with the King of the Inhumans is all of a sudden. There's something about Black Bolt's cryptic comment. So that's it. So that's it. Accept or else.
Okay. So
what's that about?
Okay. First of all, I have a couple problems with this.
You have a couple problems.
with this black.
Oh
Bolt
right,
thing.
With the Black Bolt.
I've got a lot of problems.
I understood that. Yeah.
Okay. Again, for those of you who aren't quite as comic book savvy as the Overstreet Advisor,
as Chris and I,
and the historian myself are, Black Bolt. His power, if you want to say it, is his voice.
Right.
So basically, he's not allowed to... He can't say anything because his voice actually destroys things. Right?
Yes.
So anytime he ever speaks, it's the power of his voice that can destroy planets and things like that, right?
It's like Chris singing opera.
Exactly. Yes. Not just Crystal. We're talking about people's eardrums.
Right,
breaking.
Yes.
So... The fact that he's even saying anything is ridiculous because if he says, so that's it, accept it or else, basically that's the end of the world, end of civilization, because it would basically destroy everything.
I remember reading in the old days, reading Inhuman stories and reading, Lockjaw and all those kind of cool things and stuff. Now, I don't ever remember. So, Black Bolt... He can speak whenever he wants, but he chooses not to.
That's right.
So it's like there's always that temptation and what if? Or what if he makes a mistake? What if he gets angry when he speaks?
Right,
that kind of
stuff.
And that's kind of the whole gist of that Inhumans, Black Bolt power.
Of course. And then it was a great Inhumans miniseries a few years ago written by Paul Jenkins. And it was kind of explored this whole notion of how can he not speak? Well, Paul Jenkins came up with this idea that this guy meditates like 12 hours a day kind of thing to make sure that he doesn't even accidentally speak.
Right,
like a
monk.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. So, anyways, seems all kind of flimsy to me. This whole 600 thing.
Black Bolt. So, as FF fans, Fantastic Four and Future Foundation. Listen, Chris and I know. Listen, we're here for you. We know that you're going to go out and buy it.
Yes.
Okay.
And why not?
And we don't blame you because we want to buy it too. But there's some way. Remember the old letters, the old letter columns.
Write
Marvel a letter, just saying, guys.
I think they should bring that back.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's keep on going.
All right, Chris, you were talking to me about this big time before the show.
Yes.
So explain to me what you did.
Okay. So hold
the last
on. So
72 hours or whatever it is.
A couple nights ago, I have to admit, I've never actually done this before.
First time for you.
I was a little nervous at first.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
But I showed up and I wasn't the only one there. So. I figured, why just join in and everything will be fine.
And it worked out okay?
Everything worked out. I gave my money and I went away happy. I got what I wanted and I went away happy. Yeah,
love it.
All good. Yeah.
Excellent.
So in case you're wondering what we're talking about, I actually stood in line to buy the Arkham City video game that came out midnight Monday night. I should say 12:01, very early Tuesday morning.
Right.
And as I said, I've never done anything like that before. This was sort of a new thing. I happened to be out and about visiting some family members, and I thought, you know what? It's already late enough as it is. I'll bite the bullet, and I'll stay up a little bit later, and I'll go buy it. It delivers. It is a fantastic sequel to the original Batman Arkham Asylum game. And you know what? It's clearly broad sweeping. I've already played it for about 2 or 3 hours in the last couple days. And you know what? It gives you a percentage rate as to how far you are along in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at 2%.
Whoa.
So I've already played it like 2 or 3 hours. And I'm only at 2%. So clearly it's one of those epic kind of games. One of the they actually did a very good job at looking at the previous game and determining what was wrong with it, and they looked at other successful games and what was right with those, and they combined the best of both worlds. In the old game, you know, you're Batman, you go off and you do this, you know, big missions and that kind of thing. Like, you know, you have to find the Joker, you have to do whatever. But in this game, much like in some of the other great epic games that have come out in the last few years, like Red Dead Redemption or what's that other one? Grand Theft Auto. There's a main storyline with Arkham City, but there's also side missions. So you know what? You don't have to finish the game in 5 hours and be done with it. You can spend some time exploring the city and doing all these little side missions that makes the game a lot more fun. And actually, you know, you get to really explore and have a lot of fun with the game. So you know what? I'm extremely happy with it so far.
Wow. So now Laura at our shop too, she did the same thing, and she went and she booked off sick Monday, but I'm on to her.
Nice.
And so she was saying though that there's something, explain this to me, where you get like you can play the Catwoman, but you can only play the Catwoman if you download a patch to play the Catwoman.
Okay, so in this game, you know, you play Batman.
So right. that's who you have to play.
That's who you have to play in the original, you know, ground basic concept of the game.
Okay.
However, depending on where you buy it and when you buy it and who you bought it from, different stores and different retail outlets were offering different special sort of, downloadable content, it's called.
Okay.
So, for example, if you bought it from Best Buy, you would get free downloadable content allowing you to play as Robin. Right, I got mine from EB Games, so I was able to get play as Catwoman if I wanted to.
Right.
Now, having said that, there's also Nightwing is available. I think eventually they're going to have a Joker available. Depending, like I said, depending on where you get it, different stores have different, you know, sort of promotions. Now, one of the other thing that I got when I got it from EB Games, I also got a Joker challenge map, so which is another aspect of the game.
Wow.
And there's a whole online contingent of all
so
this.
So help me out here. So I have to be like Columbo here. Right? So what you're telling me is that let's say I don't have I go online or I buy this game. Buy this game.
Yep.
And I want to be Robin, but I get the Catwoman patch.
Right.
Or code.
Right.
I can't play Robin.
No, but what you can do.
What
is,
can I do? That's what I want to know. Yeah, I want to play Robin.
Yeah, what you can do is if you really wanted to play Robin.
I really want to play Robin.
You go to. So if depending on who you buy it from.
You go on eBay.
So, no. Uh-huh. So, for example, I have a play. I just don't look at me like that.
All right.
I have a PlayStation. So, PlayStation 3, PS3. So, uh-huh. I go to the PlayStation 3 store online.
Well, look at you.
Online. Uh-huh. And you can buy the Robin patch. So you download the Robin patch.
Okay.
It's called a patch.
Yes.
You download the Robin downloadable content. And so now you can actually play as Robin if you wanted
to. So EB Games will have the Robin patch.
Or Catwoman,
Or Catwoman. Yeah. Or Best Buy will have the Catwoman patch.
Yeah, exactly. All that.
Hold on. And Future Shop will have the Penguin patch.
Right.
And you get that patch when you buy it there.
Yes.
But if you want to play the other guys, then you go on to this online store and you can
buy
purchase
them.
Those.
That's
things.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
so
I see.
So usually you can't buy one or all of them at one place. Now having said that, there are not exclusive but sort of like special versions of the game as well. Like if I wanted to play as Penguin and as Catwoman, and I think as the Joker, I could have bought the exclusive version of the game, which also comes with a little statue, for $100, as opposed to paying $59.95.
Right.
So there's more versions of the game that are out there, even at the different retail outlets. So even at EB Games, if I could have spent more money and bought more things at the same time.
Wow. Now, the thing that hit me when you were talking to me about this, when reading, and gaming is huge.
Massive.
Okay? Gaming massive. Is huge.
Trillions
I read something last week or 2 weeks ago. There was a quote where the guy said, it might have been a guy, it might have been a girl. They said something along the lines of comic books no longer hold the monopoly for the experience of their superheroes.
Absolutely. It's a great line. That's a great quote.
Something like that. So the thing that dawned on me while you were talking there's kids. There's, you know, adults. There's guys consuming and girls consuming these Arkham City?
Arkham City, yeah.
They may never read a comic book.
No, it's a very good point, yeah.
Right. And they're enjoying Batman the character outside of his comics, realm of origin.
Yeah, even though they were created in comics,
right.
there are many, many people out there who will never go into a comic book store, yet they will wear a Batman t-shirt. They will watch the Batman movies. They will play the Batman video game, yet they may never, ever read a comic book.
That is crazy. That's wrong.
It's wrong, but you know what? As we've talked about before, the way these characters have different media and they reach out to different people because of the different media, you know, I think it's fantastic. You know, what better way to reach somebody than to branch out in different ways?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, maybe I just didn't say that correctly, but that's
I'm sure you didn't.
Probably not.
But what's that perfume commercial back in the 80s or something where the girl
Sulu,
like,
Pour Homme?
No, we've come a long way, baby.
Is that for perfume?
Chanel, maybe. Sure, anyway, sure. You know, the whole pop culture, the superhero properties have come a long way when, you know, they can be massively huge successes,
yeah.
and the people that are enjoying them are oblivious to comic
absolutely,
books
absolutely.
Per se.
You know, right. my final point about Arkham City is that it's fantastic.
Excellent.
The graphics in it are amazing, and you know, you get to see it's a real gritty side to the character that you get to actually visualize in a way that you don't get to see in the video games.
Right.
Or sorry, in comic books.
Two thumbs up from Owen and Owen.
Absolutely. All right. All right. Let's keep going here.
All right. Chris, I'm reading with glee that Transformers and Magic has helped Hasbro. That's the company Hasbro, the big conglomerate that does toys and games.
Sure.
Their earnings are up 10% thanks to strong performances from Transformers, strong performances from Magic the Gathering, the game.
Now, see, that surprises me. I mean, Transformers, I get. There was the movie The Dark Side of the Moon came out this year. But Magic the Gathering, I didn't realize that it was still such a strong player in the marketplace.
Super strong, super strong. Gaming in general is a large component of pop culture now, and it's very, very strong. It does great at our shop. These new Commander decks that they've come out with are all the rage.
I don't even know what that
is.
Yeah,
don't ask me either, okay? Right. Or you're going to be in trouble.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. But, you know, Transformers, again, they're doing great with the toy lines. They're doing great with the movies. Transformers 2 is coming out, I think. G.I. Joe 2 is coming out.
Yeah, which surprises me because I didn't think it actually did well enough to warrant a number two. But clearly, I must be wrong because, I mean, I didn't see the movie because I was told it wasn't all that good.
Right.
But somebody must have liked it.
Yeah, somebody must have liked it. Apparently, Hasbro did well in the summer with the toy lines from Thor and Captain America.
That makes sense. Because
now, the Thor, I understood, but Captain America?
Oh, yeah. You should have seen some of the cool toys that came out. There was the Captain America shield.
Oh,
and,
you're right. Those shields. Those are cool.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And you know what? They even had different variants. They had like a metal one or a plastic one. And then they had like little capes and costumes for kids.
Chris, remember that Stanley Cup commercial? Remember that Stanley Cup commercial for hockey, NHL commercial? It was a great commercial where the Stanley Cup gets lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's in front of some Mexican guy's store. And it's holding coffee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, the Captain America shield that kind of got in the wrong hands or somebody that didn't know
some
I don't know, family from just came over from wherever. And they're using it as like a big salad bowl or something
perfect,
like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You invert it and it's got a nice big
wide
thing.
I thought you were going to say like British Parliament carrying tea and crumpets or something
that.
Like that.
Even
yeah.
that, I guess. Yeah. But
I say. Yeah.
More tea,
please. Okay, Governor.
Chris, so Battleship, though. Battleship is the Hasbro movie that's about to come out.
Yeah, this makes no sense to me, but please go on.
No, and they've sunk like a half $1 trillion or something into
yeah.
it, $180 million in production.
That's
or something.
Ridiculous,
right?
Yeah.
And they're worried, they're kind of worried on whether it's going to be a hit or not.
With good reason.
Right, and they have other properties lined up, other video. What do you call it?
Board games.
Sorry,
So you're talking about Battleship the board game. Here.
Yes,
and
they're making a movie about it.
You know, and they're making movies out of everything these days. You know, this sort of started. I mean, they made a Clue movie years ago, which actually was very good, but that was sort of it for the board game.
Agatha Christie thing.
Yeah,
murder mystery.
Yeah, exactly. It worked. And then all of a sudden, Disney comes around and starts making video games based on their rides. decades. Of course, Pirates of the Caribbean was a huge success, but then they went ahead and made the Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, which I don't know, it looked terrible to me.
Right.
But anyway,
stick to the clumps, Eddie.
Exactly. So you know what? It seems like people are really reaching for anything to make a movie out of some sort of property that exists in some half baked little way. So you know, here's Hasbro. They decide, you know, well, hey, you know, Transformers did well, and G.I. Joe did really well. Let's make a battleship movie.
Yeah.
Hey,
that makes sense.
E4, you sank my battleship.
Yeah.
Hit.
If you forget to say miss.
Right.
And
that's the whole basis for the whole movie, right there.
But so, there must be tension, Chris. There's big tension.
Of course.
It's like Das Boot in the basement.
If only.
Right.
Das Boot by nerds playing,
right.
You know, which I am one of those guys, so I understand. But you know what? Apparently, Hasbro may also look at other projects like Monopoly, Risk, and even another Clue movie. You know, the thing with the Clue movie, I don't know if you do you remember the Clue movie? It was actually a really clever movie because it had three different endings. Because just like the game can have a number of endings, the Clue movie had three different endings. So depending on which theater you went to go see, you may have seen a different ending than your friends who saw it at a different theater.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting.
Wow.
But now, I don't understand, you know, Risk and Monopoly. I mean, for Monopoly, you're going to have, like, the main guy be that little bald-headed guy with a top hat and monocle coming around and
you know,
kind of a penguin-type looking character.
Now, what do you do with, say, like, the wheelbarrow?
Exactly.
You can't just have a wheelbarrow by itself.
I want to be the race car.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
No, but
exactly.
You can't just be the race car. There has to be a guy in the race
now,
car.
Now, that would be a movie. What if all these like, you know, lead figurines came to life?
Oh,
and so
see?
What if it was the wheelbarrow itself?
Right.
And the race car.
Like Cars.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were like running around some sort of great giant map board type thing.
Brilliant.
That would be awesome.
Brilliant, Chris. Well, you know what? Luckily. I don't know how I did this. We have a comic culture scoop.
Scoop. Oh, yeah? Nice.
So I was at a Tim Hortons, and in the washroom at Tim Hortons, I found a briefcase.
Oh, did you?
And I looked through it quickly, and I realized that it belonged to a movie executive.
Oh, that's, you know, that is amazing how these things happen to you.
And in it were like new movie ideas.
Okay.
With little press releases, initial press releases.
Wow. So it's like.
Well, I mean, I did the honorable thing. I caught the guy. He was getting some Dutchies or something, and I caught him before he left.
Yep.
But before that, I kind of scribbled down in the stall just a few of the
things. That's good.
Right. So I have like 10 properties that are maybe in development right now.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Interesting.
You know, based on these Hasbro things. Now, some of these may not be Hasbro, but there could be a Double Bubble movie.
Get out of town.
Yeah, Double Bubble. It's about two college kids blowing their way through college.
Wasn't Pud one of those characters?
I'm not sure, but that's what it said on the guy's paperwork. So I found that amazing.
Well, good luck to them.
Right. Double Bubble, the movie.
All right.
All right.
I like it.
These guys had more. They had gold. Chris, come back to me, Chris. Come back.
Okay, I'm here.
Pet Rock, the movie.
Oh, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be filmed on the set of Golden Pond.
Okay,
so that's Pet Rock.
Pet Rock.
Yeah,
great.
So I mean, if somebody's listening, they could, you know, I don't know if these guys have the rights to these
yet, right?
But
it's a great idea.
Yeah. Jerry Curl, the movie.
No, hold on. Not everybody knows what Jerry Curl is. I think we need to inform our listeners that Jerry Curl is sort of like a mousse.
A hair product. For
African-Americans.
It was like popular in the late 80s.
Isn't that the stuff that Michael Jackson lit his hair on fire or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
That kind of thing.
I think so. And the promo in the guy's
briefcase.
Maybe
that could be the ending.
No, you know? Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. You know, like up in it
up
ends.
In flames.
Up in flames.
Yeah.
And the little promo thing, the press release, and it said about a young entrepreneur who accidentally strikes it rich while trying to invent a tasty chip dip.
Oh, yeah. Well, puts it in his hair.
Jerry Curl, the movie.
Maybe he met up with the earlier guys.
Right. And there's another one here. Easy Bake Oven, the movie.
Oh, I like that idea.
It's about housewives that gather to play Easy Bake Oven.
You know, what kind of stuff are they putting in their oven?
I don't know, Chris.
Maybe a little
Listen,
dip
listen,
and
listen
chips?
I'm telling you that,
I'm just asking.
These are the things I found in this.
Okay, no, this is excellent.
These are potential movies.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you can do Battleship,
you know what?
Why not Easy Bake Up?
I agree. All right. Yeah.
So can
sure.
I keep going?
Please,
here?
Please, yes, right. Please, absolutely.
We got Parachute Pants, the movie.
Now, exactly, what is the premise of Parachute Pants?
Well, it's funny that you ask.
Oh,
you have
wow,
a little promo
good.
Bit
yeah.
in here. It's about a special ops team dropped in behind enemy lines without parachutes.
Do they dance their way through?
No. They're pants. See, they glide down.
Oh, right.
Okay, obviously that one they might have to scratch.
Yeah.
That might be a bad idea. All right. Hacky Sack, the movie.
Oh, I like that.
It's about a group of kids kicking a sack around. And the blame game that goes on when it hits the ground.
You know, don't leave home without your sack.
Yes.
Because, you know, that should be the trailer.
I could see that. That has potential, I think. Oh, look at this one, Chris. This one, they should go, out of all the ones I found in this guy's briefcase, they should go with this one.
Okay, what is
this? This is Yo-Yo, the movie.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. The story of a kid with one finger and his quest to be world champion.
Well, you know, the one finger is very important.
Well, apparently the kid had.
Yeah, I'm not. Which finger was it?
I don't know.
You know.
Obviously, his yo-yo finger.
Yeah.
I can see, you know, like maybe the guy's girlfriend is Adrian. Yo,
yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 Adrian.
Or how about yo-yo Ma? Who's
yo,
the
yo, ma, look, yo. No hands.
All right.
Let's we're going to end that one. Okay.
What else? Well, we got three
what
more
else?
To go.
We got three more to go, thankfully. Big Wheel, the movie.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
They said it's like Fast and Furious, but a lot slower and on the sidewalk.
Oh, well, that's okay, because, you know, they're little kids.
Yeah,
little
kids.
It can be like Easy Rider, too.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, I think they're getting worse as they go down here.
I think... You blew your best movie right at the beginning there.
I think so. Swatch Watch, the movie. Movie about a Swiss guy making a watch.
Now, hold on. Now, this movie would work if the Swatch Watch actually talked back to you.
Yes.
You know, and if it was like, you know, like trying to tell you what to do and like, you know.
Well,
like,
I don't know the premise
kinda like,
of the
kind of like Knight Rider.
Yeah.
But like, you know, but with like a watch.
Right, right.
You know?
Helping
so,
you along.
Helping you out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's about. All I know, they
Michael,
did say, they did say a special guest, Roger Federer,
will
be packing a Swiss Army knife.
That's sharpened to the point.
Creek, 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 creek. All right, and the number out, Chris. This one floored me.
All right,
this one floored me. Blew me away.
It's like double bubble.
In his briefcase, he had as a potential movie, Comic Culture, the movie.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
one. Yeah,
it's
that's
about
great.
Two stooges trying to make quality radio. All the while trying to avoid all the booze and groupies that come with the territory.
Well, there is an awful lot of those. Awful lot of booze and groupies.
Yes, yeah. And that, Chris, is the contents of this guy's briefcase.
You know what? I don't know what to say to you other than it's time for a musical interlude. So why not go with one of the most popular franchises of the 1980s and 90s, a little bit of the old TMNT.
Chris, you know, I love the 80s.
Really?
No.
I was going to say, why would you hate the 80s?
No, I mean, that it was like a terrible song. I'm sorry.
What was that song about? Oh, yeah, right. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, yes, right. Anyway.
Right. All right. Well, anyways, let's continue on with the show. And our next segment is brought to you by your local comic book shop, your source for all your spooky comics just in time for Halloween.
Right. So please, on Halloween, visit your local comic book shop. But more likely than not, they'll probably be giving away free comics to the kids.
Well, we're going to get to that later in the show. But apparently there's going to be a second free comic book day.
We'll get to it later in the show. Okay. You're right. You're right, Chris. So anyway, yeah, support your local comic book shop, especially on Halloween. All right, Chris, let's keep going. We have news from, Chris, I saw this today. Blown away by
it. I know you're a fan.
Tintin, the new, what do you call those things?
Movie.
Yeah, what do you call when they put online?
Trailer,
yes. Thank you. The new trailer, and it is dynamite. It's like 3 minutes of just eye candy.
So hold on. For those of you that aren't in the know, like, you know, Walt, who is the professor of comic. I'm the professor. Yeah. Walt is the Overstreet Advisor. Tintin is one of the biggest European comic books of all time, really.
Yes, it's a creator's Herge. And it's actually, a lot of people think it's French, but Belgian.
Yes.
But I think.
But they speak French.
Right. He goes back to the 30s, I believe. Yeah. And of course, he's just a kid and his dog. They go on adventures.
Yeah.
And it's huge. It's probably, I'm going to say, probably just as, if not worldwide, more popular than even an Asterix and an Obelix.
Yeah, I would say it's probably similar to that. Right. I remember, you know, as a kid, when I, you know, go to the library with my dad, and we would often, you know, look for different stuff. And inevitably, I would always try to look up comic books. Tintin and Asterix and Obelix were always the ones that would find out in the libraries, because back then they didn't have Spider-Man or anything like that. But Tintin is hugely popular. And as Walt said, there's all kinds of little adventures that they go on. And who's directing it? None other than Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, with producer,
director.
Yeah, no. Producer is Peter Jackson.
Yeah, so Peter Jackson, who did Lord of the Rings. Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Now, what I will say, Chris, is watching the trailer, and please just jump online. Excuse me. Jump online and just Google Tintin trailer. And Steven Spielberg, if you watch the trailer, you're going to have moments where you think you're watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's what you were telling me that before. It's like a mini but big version of Indiana Jones. Like,
right.
It's epic.
The cinematography, obviously it's not cinematography because they're using this animated thing like they did in Polar Express or whatever, but it's absolutely visually stunning.
So it's not live action.
It's not live action. It's not Pixar-ish. It's kind of halfway between live action and Pixar. Pixar, like Ants and Toy Story, is really good. It's not cartoons. And, you know, live action is obviously live action. This is kind of, well above Pixar, but it's not live action.
Yeah, it's that motion capture effect that they're using.
Right.
They did on Polar Express,
which was Robert Zemeckis. The graphics are just stunning on this. And when you watch the sequences of the action scenes and stuff like that, you're going to you kind of are taken back to the Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you know what? Polar Express, I mean, I didn't care for that movie all that much because it was a little too cartoony. But I think part of that was because it was a little bit like everything was in the snow and everything looked kind of fake. But from what you're telling me before is that everything looks pretty good in this movie.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so
please check out just Google Tintin trailer and check it out and enjoy. That comes out at Christmas. All right, Chris, let's talk about, you know what, I mean, you and I, Anthony Falcone, our producer, emailed us too, and he was kind of wah-wah-wah on
The Comic-Con,
New York City Comic-Con. No big news really came out of there, no big...
I followed it all weekend, and really nothing big, no major announcements about anything came out, and I was a little disappointed, except for the fact that we have this little blurb about Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers. So Brian Michael Bendis and... Bagley, what's his name? Mark Bagley, who started the whole Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, so that team, the Bendis Bagley team that did the Ultimate Spider-Man for 115 issues.
Marvel has got them lined up for the Avengers Assembled series.
Yeah, now this makes sense because, you know what, these guys, they restarted the Spider-Man line with Ultimate Spider-Man. So basically, they're going to restart the Avengers line with Avengers Assemble, and this is going to be a jumping on point for people that want to know a little bit more about the characters who are going to be in the Avengers movie. So guys like the Hulk, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man.
Yeah.
So basically the original lineup of the original comic, except for Ant-Man and Wasp, are going to be in the movie. And so these guys have been put to task to try to get new readers for the whole series, for this new Avengers Assemble comic book.
Excellent. Excellent. And, I mean, who better to do it? From what I'm reading on this article is they're using all the characters in the Avengers movie are the characters that are in the Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, which makes sense because, you know what, people are going to go to the movie and people are going to want to know about the Avengers movie. And so they're going to read the comic and hopefully go back to the movie. Sorry,
no,
go ahead. What?
Come back to that a bit. You and I talked literally 15 minutes ago, though, about do they really need to do this? And the reason I ask is if you're reading a comic book, you already know about the Avengers. You're already primed for the Avengers movie. You know, you and I talked about the Arkham City game and the Arkham whatever.
Right.
You don't have to experience the comic book. They're not going to latch on to new comic book readers just before the movie and entice them to go see the movie.
Right.
Is
okay.
My point.
That's a great point. And I think what maybe they're trying to do is work backwards here. And maybe they're trying to get the people that would normally go to the movies but not read the comics, but maybe they can go to the comic. Maybe they can read the movie. Be excited.
Whose baby is that? I'll buy that baby.
Get excited about the movie. And go to the comic book store and say, hey, you know, I want to read a comic book about the Avengers who are going to be in the movie. And all of a sudden now there's a comic book about those characters, right? So people that don't know anything about the characters, have never read a comic book, now they can get excited about
Shame on them.
Books. I'm just saying, you know, there are people out there who don't read comic books but are still fans of the movies and the comic characters.
And I'm just saying, shame on them.
You know, let's move on.
All right. Amazon, Chris. Amazon is really rocking the boat left and right. Don't rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby. Don't
rock the boat.
Rock the boat, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! All right, so...
Okay, so Amazon is rocking the boat with they want to become a publisher of books.
Yeah, this is crazy. So not only you know, they've clearly done extremely well in the distributorship of comic books and the retail version of comic books.
Of books,
not comics. And you know what? Now they're going to get into publishing. They're actually going to get into the creating books. What is it? It says here in
122 books
in 2012.
And they're hiring best-selling authors.
Yeah, who I've never heard, by the way. Lawrence Kirschbaum. And
apparently self-help guru Tim Ferriss.
Yes,
never heard of him. Yeah, because, you know, I've read him.
Well, yeah. You do need a lot of self-help, so you should.
Yeah. He's one of the ones I've missed. Anyway, Because they're doing this thing. Remember what they did last week? We reported with DC. They signed an exclusive 4-month window to digitally distribute DC's graphic novels.
Yes, and starting with Watchmen.
Watchmen and Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and
Killing Joke.
Yeah, people like Barnes and Noble got pissed off.
Yeah.
And they basically boycotted all the hard copy graphic novels.
But not only did Barnes & Noble do this, other retailers...
Yeah, Books A Million did it too.
They jumped on as well, right?
Yeah. And,
so this is interesting to see how this is going to play out. But as you and I were talking earlier, this is something that shouldn't be happening all the way around. This is an old Victorian era type thing. Like as you said, book fairs and...
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. The book publishing industry.
Yeah.
The book publishing
is
industry.
Old.
It's all like London, New York.
Yes.
You know, it's all like you said, Victorian era.
Yeah.
Did they have that structure of how things are supposed
to
happen?
We're going
to
tell you what you're supposed to read.
Yeah, and you know, we have that relationship with the author and we have that, you know, editor process and we have the, going and... Yeah, you're right. It's antiquated, right?
It totally is antiquated.
And Amazon has the balls, and they're coming in and say, "Hey, we're not afraid of you, publishers.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to publish too."
But you know what? I think Amazon's very ballsy in doing all this, but you know what? I think they're right too. I think it's a good idea to start publishing all this stuff on Kindle, because you know what? This is going to be the way of the future. People are going to continue to buy Kindles and download, you know, 50, 70 books on their Kindle, and why not have graphic novels be part of that as well? And you know what? Why not have them be able to buy it for $10 rather than going out and spending $24 on a graphic novel?
Right. You know? But here's the question du jour.
Okay, du jour.
Du jour. Yes. For our American listeners, that's the question of the day.
Yes.
Right. How does this affect comic books?
Okay.
Like, our comics? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, in two ways. One, I'm going to say that, you know what, it's going to be an add-on to comic books, because there's always going to be people who are going to collect comics. It's a fun enterprise. People are always going to do that. And people still like to have something that they can read and flip the pages and hold in their hand. Second, for a book like Watchmen or Killing Joke or Dark Knight, these are books that came out like almost 30 years ago, you know, 25 years ago. I think DC's made their money on it. Why not publish them at half the price anyways and put them on Kindle? Because, I mean, really, the data transfer is going to be minimal in cost.
Oh, shush, Chris. You're talking to a retailer.
I'm just saying, you know right. what? If you're going to buy it digitally, why not make it 50 cents?
Well, okay. Thing is, they have to pay the publisher, and the publisher is DC, and DC will not give it to 50 cents because they're protecting their property.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, like the article said, though, books... There's a lot of franchises in books, but I guess new franchises... I'm not an expert at this, so I'm just probably going to put my foot in my mouth here a few times, yeah. You can develop a new franchise in a book, Harry Potter thing along, and then another thing will come along. The Hunger Games. My kids are reading these Hunger Games things now, and they come along. And I guess books, new properties seem to come along, and they latch on. And so Amazon may hit with a new property with a book,
absolutely
right. But the way traditionally for comic book reading fans is they're so entrenched with the Marvel and DC characters.
Yep, as
and
it
you,
should be.
You and I see how hard it is for a Dark Horse publisher or an IDW publisher or an Image publisher to crack that public perception that all I want to read is my flipping DCs, leave me alone, or all I want to read is my Marvels, leave them alone.
Yep.
This is why I'm thinking that Amazon would have a really hard time busting into comic field, because it's so... The existing fan base, unless they create a new fan base, that's different. The existing fan base is so entrenched in their Marvel and DC that whatever kind of new world publishing line that Amazon creates for comics might not work.
But are they going to publish all new concepts, or are they going to latch on to previously owned, previously created franchises?
Like an IDW is what you're saying?
Exactly. Why not have IDW sign up with Amazon and start publishing all their stuff digitally, right?
Fair enough. Enough.
And in that case, and to your other point, though, what you were saying before about creating a whole new audience, I think that's what's going to happen. I think eventually people are going to get tired of picking up. You know, there's going to be, I shouldn't say get tired.
Of Batman, tired of Spider-Man,
There's going to be a generation of people that don't want to buy comics, but are more than happy to download them when they're at home at 10 o'clock at night. And hey, you know what? I want to read this Spider-Man. I'm going to download it quickly, and I'm going to spend, you know, the $2 or whatever it is. I think that's going to be part of the way people are going to start interpreting comics.
Heavy, heavy stuff, Chris.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listeners, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. Believe it or not, how did this hour go by already?
I don't know. It just like flies by.
Crazy.
You know, it's crazy. Chris, time with you just runs.
It just runs quickly, doesn't it?
Hey, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add in your comments. And also, jump on to getthepointradio.com and listen to our podcast.
And remember, if you're going to try to take over the world tonight, wear a sweater. It's getting awfully cold out there.
Yes. Please support your local comic book store.
And go out and have yourself a wonderful day. And we will talk to you more about... We were going to talk about Free Comic Book Day Part 2, but we'll get to that next week. Have yourself a great day.